Thank you to the business sponsors who help support WPR programs. Businesses like Wisconsin Dells Tourism and Titletown Brewing play a huge role in the success of WPR. More information at WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com.
Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip as our month of music wraps up on Route 51 with record store owners, a radio station general manager, and musician John Altenberg.
Music rings through my mind, winding further across that line. People dance and sing along, they all know the ageless song. Help them all toward common strength, mark the path along the way that leads on to wider roads, taking those that stray. Keep it light, oh my soul's on fire. Souls on fire.
You're listening to the voice and piano of John Altenberg and his widely acclaimed blues band Johnny and the Motones, recorded at the legendary Muscle Shoals studio in Alabama, as Route 51 talks about radio, records, and the music industry reboot. I'm Glenn Moberg. It is a different world now than in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, when disc jockeys and record store owners determined much of our popular culture. And individual LPs could sell millions of copies. Today, instead of reaching everyone, radio stations have become specialists, programming repetitive playlists to a tiny sliver of the audience. As digital technology, MP3 downloads, streaming services are threatening the livelihood of record store owners and musicians. Joining John Altenberg on Route 51 today, Pete Rondello, the general manager of WXPR-FM Independent Public Radio in Rhinelander, who gives his announcers wide latitudes with the music that they play. Also, Billy Siegel of Revival Records of Eau Claire, a store that specializes in vintage vinyl LPs. And in a pre-recorded interview, we'll hear from Randy Wagner of Radio Chaos, a music store in Stevens Point that sells new CDs and old vinyl. If you would like to join the conversation, give us a call toll-free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Well, John Altenberg, let's start with you. Tell us about Johnny and the Motones.
Oh, boy. That's an open-ended question, Glenn. We've got another album coming out in the fall. Doing some gigs. We're playing the Blues Fest coming up here in August. Playing a benefit up in Minocqua coming up on Saturday night up at the Thirsty Whale. And business as usual.
Well, tell us about the new album.
Well, it's not finished yet, but we'll figure it out. We're in the process of recording it, so.
You went down to Sun Studios in Memphis to do the first album, which is
the first Johnny and the Motones album.
Yeah, yes. The first Johnny and the Motones album. And Sun Studios, of course, where Elvis and Carl Perkins and Jerry Lee Lewis and Johnny Cash got their start. And then you went to Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Right.
Any other road trips in your future?
We've always wanted to go. We did have a trip planned to Abbey Road in London. And that had to be canceled a few years ago for a variety of reasons. But I'd like to do that. That would be the ultimate road trip.
That would be the
ultimate road trip. It's a little expensive, though, unfortunately. But we're still in the thought process.
I'm trying to imagine what you and Chris O'Keefe would look like in bare feet and white suits.
Right, walking across the crosswalk. Yeah.
Well, your CDs have actually appeared on the Billboard charts. Tell us how that happens.
Well, there's different charts. Are indications of different things. Sometimes it's sales, and other times it's just simply radio airplay. Billboard is sales. for the most part. Now, you never really know how these things actually get on the charts, but I don't know.
The Johnny and the Motones CD made the blues charts, right, for Billboard?
Correct. Yeah, all four of our albums have.
So yes. Is that dependent on hard copy CDs and vinyls, or do they somehow measure what's being downloaded?
Well, I think – well, sure, absolutely, because that's a big part of the industry, obviously. So now it's about downloads, and now, of course, it's about streaming as well. So there's some sort of – mixture of calculations, things that they do, and you know, I really don't know how they do it, but it has to encompass all of that. Otherwise, it's not a true indication of where it is. You know,
are Johnny and the Motones a throwback in some ways to an earlier era, or is the blues just one of those music forms that's eternal?
Well, I think it is eternal. It's classical, jazz, blues. That stuff is never going away. It's never going to be the pop or country or rock music, but it has that thin line down at the bottom that's just solid, that's never going away. At least that's my thoughts.
Now,
that's my hope anyway.
I do a radio show, you know, once a week, and we featured Johnny and the Motones a couple of times. Once did a radio show about it and done a couple of news stories. Are any other radio stations playing your stuff?
Oh, sure. Sure, that's how we get on some of these charts, you know, absolutely. You know, the Roots Music Report is a big one for the blues, and that's simply based on radio airplay. So,
Pete Rondello, you're the general manager of WXPR Rhinelander. It is one of my favorite radio stations. I've listened to it a lot over the years since we moved up here in 93. And I did a feature story on your station a few years back. We've had some of your hosts on the air. Tell us what that's all about. What's the difference between being a part of Wisconsin Public Radio like I am and being an independent public radio station like you are?
Well, it's a fairly big difference in the fact that we are a one-off. We don't have other stations that carry the same material. We're not part of the state network. We are strictly community-based and community-funded, and our board of directors is a bunch of volunteers from the community. We're volunteer-powered, Glenn. We've got 107 volunteers that bring the programming to our audience, which is super cool and allows us to be nimble and diverse and have some fun.
And we share a radio frequency with you, 91.9 FM in Wausau, the station a lot of people are listening to this show on right now.
Right.
6 o'clock, boom, it's WXPR.
Boom, right. And, you know, on Friday nights, you might hear Johnny and the Motones because we've got our blues show that starts at that time. It's a unique arrangement to share a station like that. And we find that it's not only unique but fun because it provides a voice for Wisconsin Public Radio and for us in this area.
Well, you've got a blues show, you've got a bluegrass show, the country classic show, you've got jazz programming during the day, and then the rock-based Northwoods Cafe every night. Are you trying to be too many different things to too many different people?
I don't think so. We're trying to be, if you can conceptualize, a buffet table, okay? So you come into your favorite place and you look at all the things on the table. Some of that you're going to like and some of that maybe you're not. But you may hear something on that buffet table that maybe you didn't think you were going to like, and all of a sudden you're a bluegrass fan. Or, you know, I've known people that say, can't miss the polka show.
Yeah.
You know, and we're one of the few stations that still has that genre on the air.
And your news guy, Ken Crawl, a great newsman who we work with quite a bit.
Right.
He does a polka show.
He's the polka guy. And he just loves it and brings a lot of energy to that show along with volunteers that bring that genre.
Well, so, what is the importance of volunteers?
Well, I think in our world it would be impossible to operate without them. We don't have a staff big enough to cover the hours in the day, but it also allows us to really engage with the community instead of us, like a lot of stations, saying, well, you're going to listen to this. The volunteers come in and they share personal preferences in music. They share perceptions in history. you know, I can't be, as a radio host, fluent in all genres, but I could have a classics host that is, a separate polka host, or a country host. And so they bring a huge experience with the music that they host.
You give your music hosts, your announcers, a great deal of latitude with what they play on the air. Very unusual with radio stations these days, where they have tightly controlled playlists.
You know, unusual is okay, because I think it allows us to be a little bit more not usual, and there are too many usual choices these days. So unusual and different can be fresh. And we set up a sandbox, if you will, that they have to play in. But as long as they're within the borders of that basic setup for their program, yeah, we'll let them have some fun.
Go on, John.
Well, I was just going to say, unusual programming is what been keeping Johnny and the Motones in business for the last 15 years. So we appreciate that kind of stuff immensely, you know. Otherwise, you know, small bands like us, you know, we don't survive, you know.
When I got my first job in this business, it was back in the 70s, and I was a disc jockey at a very progressive FM rock station in the Chicago area, WJKL, known as the Fox in Elgin because it's on the Fox River. And we also had a great deal of freedom. We had 10,000 record albums in that studio, and I literally could play anything I wanted to on the air. And it was a commercial station at the time. But that's how we helped struggling up-and-coming new artists get heard by people so they could break into the business. And that doesn't happen anymore on commercial radio stations.
It doesn't, Glenn, because the model has changed and evolved over time to the point where a community-owned station, which would be like the Fox, the one that you worked at, has now become a conglomerate-owned group station, and a lot of that programming does not originate in the town that you listen to it.
So how do new artists get heard if people aren't listening to radio stations like yours?
Well, you know, they're going to have to pick and choose the radio stations that are, and they're going to have to look at other ways that they're going to reach listeners' ears, and that isn't always radio these days. They're going to have to look at podcasting and other venues where they can have their music heard. And we think that's a part of our mission, Glenn, is to play music by Johnny and the Motones and to play music from local groups, local regional bands and things like that. But we are the minority.
Billy Siegel, let's introduce our third host, our third guest here today. Tell us about Revival Records, the store you own in Eau Claire, and how long you've been in the business.
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me. Opened up in October of 2009, so it's coming up on 7 years here. I own a record shop in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and just to kind of add to the local artists and supporting them, that's exactly where we as mom-and-pop shops can help support local artists as well. At Revival Records, we do shows there as well as help promote local artists in any way possible.
Now tell me about that. Tell me about the shows you do.
We do small shows, intimate shows, 40 to 50 people they seat. Otherwise, I do open up the floor in the store and have a little larger shows as well. I have a stage in the show or in the floor and yeah, just try to have a good time with it.
Now, you specialize in vintage vinyl, old LPs from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. How big of a market is there for that?
Well, when I first opened up in 09, there really wasn't a whole lot of a market. I opened up the store because I just kind of wanted to do something I loved, you know. Put money aside, put everything aside, and just do something you love. And honestly, like, I kind of caught lightning in a bottle, per se. Vinyl has just skyrocketed in the last 7 years. I'm actually having a hard time like keeping stock in stock because I cannot there's the supply and demand. The supply is dwindling and the demand is rising.
Where do you get your inventory?
Honestly, like I'm looking for people to bring it in to me. I take it right off of them coming in through the doors, and or I do go shopping through
antique stores,
correct,
and places
yeah.
like that?
Yeah, anywhere I can find them, really. But most of it comes right from people bringing them into me.
You know, it wasn't so long ago that everybody thought vinyl was dead forever. A lot of people got rid of their turntables. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, my goodness, yes. So I actually do specialize in refurbishing old equipment as well. I'll set up stereo equipment and try to get it out there to people that are college students, people in the area that are looking to get into it.
So it sounds like service is a big part of your business, where you're not only supplying the product, but you're actually helping people listen to it.
Absolutely, yeah. Revival Records, that's what it's all about, reviving something that has been sitting around for a long time and trying to get it back out in the community.
How much old stuff do you sell and how much new stuff?
If I had to put a percentage on it, I would probably say 90% used, 10% new.
And you've got artists now releasing a lot of their stuff now on vinyl as well as CDs.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If it is coming out, it is probably going to be on vinyl for major artists, yeah.
Why do people love old vinyl records? When I talk to people, they say it's the sound. They like the warm sound of the analog recording instead of the digital. They like the experience of sitting down and holding an album in their hands. And there's also the artwork, the great artwork on the covers.
Yeah, that's what got me into it. When I was younger, I would go and look for these records. I didn't even have a record player at the time, but I would buy them for the artwork on the covers. And as I got into it, that's what drew me in was the experience of listening to vinyl records, you know, the smell of them and having to, like, clean them and take care of them and flip them. And it allows you to, like, experience the music. You have to listen to the whole album.
And those old records really changed America and our popular culture.
Yeah, absolutely. They're just some of the best music that's ever been made, I believe, has come from that era, like the older era.
You have a record store day? Does the industry have a record store day? Do you do anything special for that?
Oh, my goodness, yes. So the third Saturday of every April is a national – it's called Record Store Day. It's a national event. And these artists will get together, and they put out these limited edition pressings that you have to be an independent record store, a brick-and-mortar shop, in order to get this stuff. And so they release a list of what's going to be coming out for that third Saturday in April, and you have to be signed up through Record Store Day in order to participate. And last year, I have to say, I probably had 140 people in line. The line went around and down the block, and it is
wow.
It is one day a year that it is just – it's for people who listen to records. It's a day to celebrate vinyl, and it started – out is a way to get people into record stores, and it has really taken off.
John, what do you think of that?
Well, it's amazing. You know, I remember I never did a vinyl album, and of course, I'm an old guy, so I grew up with that. But by the time I had a chance to do my first album, which was in the late 80s, I had to make a decision whether I was going to do vinyl or I was going to do a CD. And I've always regretted to this day that I didn't do the vinyl for my first album because obviously, CDs were new and up and coming, and I wanted to be a part of that. But I remember having to buy a CD player to play my own CD.
Right.
I didn't even own one.
And a lot of those early CD players
didn't
sound very good.
They didn't work. They were horrible, and they would skip, and you know, you never knew what you were going to get when you turned them on. Sometimes they only would – if there was 12 tracks on an album, sometimes they'd only play 10, and that's just the way it was, you know.
Pete, you still got turntables at WXBR?
We do. We have a turntable in each studio. We have a couple thousand vinyl records in our library, and we use them often, and some of the genres more than others. Our classic country host brings in a lot of Conway Twitty and, you know, Loretta Lynn. And when you listen,
I can hear him hiss and pop a little
exactly,
bit. Adds
exactly.
Character.
You bet.
If you just joined us, we're talking about the changing music industry, how digital technology is changing radio stations, what musicians have to do to make a living, what record stores have to do. Our guests are John Altenburg, a wonderful blues and jazz musician from central Wisconsin, Pete Rondello, he's the general manager of WXPR-FM, Independent Public Radio in Rhinelander, and Billy Siegel of Revival Records of Eau Claire. If you'd like to join the conversation, maybe you've got a lot of old vinyl on hand at home. Maybe you listen to WXPR. Maybe you love watching John Altenburg. Maybe all three. Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page where you will find links to Johnny and the Motones, WXPR, and Revival records. How has streaming services in the digital age changed the music industry, and how has it changed your individual lines of work? John, let's start with you.
Well, that's your only source of revenue anymore. For a guy like me, album sales have dwindled completely. And so what you have now is you have things like Pandora, Spotify, and all these different things that people are listening to. You know, my two kids are 22 and 20. They don't buy anything. That generation just doesn't buy anything. They're listening, and it's a whole different world out there. So I have to rely that my distributor is going to distribute to these streaming type of sites, and somehow I get money back from this. Now, there's no way for me to monitor any of this stuff. You know, in the old days, I knew how many CDs went out. I knew how many I got back in returns. And you could, you know, deduct, you know, X amount. I have no idea, you know, how many times things are being played, who's being honest, who isn't. But I have to rely on that because that's where it is right now. And
you don't get a lot of money per play, do you?
Not per play. It's pennies. But, you know, so you're looking at, you know, obviously a lot of plays. And so you have to promote yourself on these particular sites. You know, my distributor is The Orchard, which was recently bought out by Sony. So I'm signed to Sony Entertainment. And they determined, it's very cool, but they determine where everything goes. And I really don't have a whole lot of say into it unless if I opt out, which I'm really not prepared to do at this point.
So. Was there a downside to releasing your music on CDs?
Well, you know, here's my dilemma coming up in the fall for a new album. What do I do? This could be the very first time I've ever made an album. I may not have physical product. Because if it wouldn't be for radio stations, I'm not sure I would at this point even bother to make them because it's very expensive, and I have to think about those costs as, you know, as my own, you know, record label type of person. So I can literally release an album without any physical product anymore, and I don't like that idea. I love the I wish I could. You know, that it was back the way it was. But for me, I have to look at where is my biggest point of revenue. And at this point, it's the jukeboxes. You know, we're on TouchTunes and NSM jukeboxes and all that sort of thing. You get a little bit coming back from that. It's all the licensing agreements that I do for people. A lot of people use my music for productions and television, you know, needle drops and all that kind of thing. So that's where I have to really concentrate on where my revenue comes from, because I don't have a lot of sales anymore, but I get streaming revenue. So has it taken the place? No, but I can see it. I can see it absolutely catching up quickly.
Pete, how has digital technology affected radio stations?
Oh my goodness, it's all pervasive in who we are and what we do. It's an adjunct to the CDs that we still play, because at WXPR, I'd say 90% of the music that we put on the air is CD-based, and so we have to house all of those CDs and have the equipment to play it. Streaming services for us mean a couple of different things. First, it's another way to get our programming out to the public, and that is via a digital stream, so we can share our programming with really anybody in the world that has an internet connection. The other idea that we have, Glenn, is that a lot of stations, if you're a classic rock station, you can buy digital copies of everything and put it on a hard drive on a computer at your radio station. We can't rebroadcast Spotify or Pandora. Mm-hmm. We would love to find a way to have a venue for a broadcast station that we could pay a fee so that John gets paid, and we would have access to that music without having the physical copy of it. That hasn't happened yet. So all of these things are swirling around. People like John say, hey, I've got a new album coming out. Can I send you an MP3 copy online? I don't know how to hand that to my host so that they can read the liner notes and physically put it in the machine.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So we're at that point right now.
And there are a lot of older people, myself included, that love those hard copies, John.
Right. No, I completely understand that. But, You know, I have to look at it, what my costs are. And trust me, I don't want to do the way the things are rolling now. I'm just at a point where I have to look at what's cost effective and what's going to get me the most exposure.
I think it's interesting to think about the portability of music in this conversation and how that relates to the stream. I mean, when you go back to the 20s, 30s, 40s, people would sit in front of their radio or listen to a record in their room, you know, and then radio became more portable. You could take it with you, and with that, CDs, and then all of a sudden we had iPods, and, you know, off we go. And,
right.
And now we've got the smartphone with as much music in one device as we had in our whole library.
Billy Siegel, how's all this affecting record stores?
Well, with vinyl, these they all come with MP3 downloads now. So if you're going to buy a new vinyl album, it comes with a digital copy and a hard copy. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. You know, they've kind of figured out that you can have your cake and eat it too now with music.
All right, hold that thought. We're way over for our break right now. So I've got to get to it. We're wrapping up our month of music today on Route 51. It's Radio Records and the Music Industry Reboot. Musician John Altenburg, Pete Rondello of WXPR FM in Rhinelander, Billy Siegel of Revival Records of Eau Claire. When we come back, we're going to hear from Randy Wagner of Radio Chaos of Stevens Point. And we'd like to hear from you, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Going to take a short break, but first, John Sebastian is going to pay a visit to a local record store.
Yes, I was just 13. You might say I was a musical proverbial knee-high. When I heard a couple new sounding tunes on the tubes and they blasted me sky-high. And the record man said, everyone is a Yellow Sun record from Nashville. And up north here ain't nobody buys them. And I said, but I will. And it was Nashville Cats, plain clean as country water. Nashville Cats, plain wild as Mountain Dew. Nashville Cats, been playing since Sage Babies. Nashville Cats.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Shep's Ice Cream and the Bremer and Trollope Law Offices. You, too, can help ensure the future of WPR with your business sponsorship. Find out more at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Attorneys Sturgill and Long, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and the Michigan Upper Peninsula. Information is at 888-613-0600.
The All-American Half Pound. Sweet pure beef patty. Lettuce, tomato. This is Rock and Roll Radio. Come on, let's rock and roll with the Ramones.
The Ramones, remembering Rock and Roll Radio on Route 51 as we wrap up our month of music with a conversation about Radio Records and the Music Industry Reboot with musician John Altenburg, Pete Rondello of WXPR FM Independent Public Radio in Rhinelander, Billy Siegel of Revival Records of Eau Claire, and in this segment, Randy Wagner of Radio Chaos of Stevens Point. I'm Glenn Moberg. You can join the conversation at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it on the air. Gentlemen, let's talk about the role of radio and record stores back in the 60s and 70s in determining popular culture. It was top 40 radio in the 60s. And then as artists started concentrating on putting out high-quality music on LPs instead of 45s, we went to sort of a free-form, progressive, album-oriented format.
That's right. And I remember back in the day, the record companies would be very happy to get those records into the hands of the announcers, many times for free. We had payola laws that came out because of some of that music, and we could always buy a record for about a dollar or two when everyone else was paying $8, $9, $10. And
I've got 3,000 record albums at home, and I used to joke
that promotional copy, right?
People pay me in records instead of salary.
Right, right. And that they wanted you to sponsor their musician, their artist, their band. So, you know, if Glenn got his album or Pete got his album, they expected some airplay.
And John, that's when you got your start in the business. It was in the late '70s, but still, it was that era.
Oh, absolutely. I remember we were talking off mic. I remember when I was in high school going down to these record conventions down in Milwaukee at the old Eagles Club, and you would walk in, and there was just all these different vendors, and you would go in and there was all these guys selling bootlegs. It was like the underbelly of the record business. And some guy says, I would ask, you know, do you have any Lennon or Hendrix? Meet me around the corner, bud, you know. And they would sell me all these, you know, some were fake, some were real, who the hell knows. But I bought tons of vinyl, and I still have them to this day. I'm trying to sell them to our friend Billy over here, and we're going to make a deal off, you know,
later. And we got to the point where some artists were actually faking their album covers to make them look like bootlegs. The Who, Live at Leeds,
yes,
and the Mothers of Invention had a record out. I think it was Live at the Fillmore, which was just kind of scrawled in ink. And
right,
that was one that I couldn't play on the air, folks.
But those were great days. I miss all that stuff. It's fun, you know. And I think back about how we took care of those vinyl albums, you know, where you had the little – I forgot what they're called, the little things where you put the liquid on, the cleaners. What are those called?
Yeah, it's a vinyl cleaner.
The vinyl cleaner, and you put it on there, and you would never touch this, you know, any part of the album. You would handle it on the edges and, you know, all that stuff. And it was the total experience, you know.
And Billy, you're helping people relive that experience now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they still make – I sell anti-static brushes there. So
yeah,
as the record plays, you just put it on and get all the dust and stuff from the inner jacket. Yeah, absolutely.
Radio Chaos is an independent music store in Stevens Point. They feature new CDs and vinyl, and they serve a customer base that includes UW-Stevens Point students, young people, and adults of all ages. Here's an interview that today's show producer, Ben Shiverick, conducted with Radio Chaos owner Randy Wagner.
Well, record stores have always been a gathering place for young people. But people of all ages, people like to be exposed to music they haven't heard. So that was always the record store's role before. Now there's other ways to be exposed to music that you haven't heard. So that has changed a little bit, but it's still a place where people like to go. And if you look back at the 90s, I mean, most of those bands that started out, no one knew of them. Where did they find out about them was generally through the record store. So yeah, I think that record stores have a big part in that. Now it's a little less because of the way you can go on YouTube and find it. You can go on streaming services and find it, but you still have to know what you're looking for. A lot of the people that come in here, I know by name, and they know me by name. So I know them, and I get to know their tastes, so it's easier for me to pick stuff to put in the inventory. If you don't know your customer base, today's world with all the choices, you might have a hard time staying open because of the fact that it's not like the old days where they sell 15 million of one CD anymore.
What do you think has changed about the business since you've started?
Well, lots of stuff has changed about the business since I started. I mean, we started in the heyday when CDs were new. So, like I said, then everybody was converting to CDs, and it's progressively moved forward into the digital realm. So, like I said, it's changed probably 100% about how people get their music.
What effect do you think music streaming services have had on record stores?
Streaming services can be positive and negative. A lot of bands don't like it. A lot of bands do like it. A lot of people stream music just to hear stuff so that they can go out and buy it. A lot of people are satisfied with just streaming the music, so... Like I said, that's a kind of a toss-up on what it's done to the music industry in general.
What role do you see record stores having in the future?
You know, that's a difficult question. I'm not 100% sure, what role the record store is going to have in the future. I mean, I don't see a lot of new ones opening up. So are we going to go the way of the drive-in movie theaters? I don't know. I think that us guys that have been in the business for a long time, we're going to continue to go.
That's Randy Wagner, the owner of Radio Chaos, a record store in Stevens Point, and today's show producer, Ben Shiverick. Gentlemen, what do you think of his fear? Will traditional record stores go the way of the drive-in theater? Billy Siegel, let's start with you.
I like to hope not. I hope that they stick around for generations to come. You know, when that's one of my biggest enjoyments is when a family will come in my store and the son or daughter will pick out an album and they're like, oh, Mom, I want this, or oh, Dad, I want this. And the mom and dad are like, we probably have this in the basement. I can't believe you like this. You know, and they find this common bond and camaraderie. And, you know, I like to see the store bring families and people together.
So that sense of community is really important to you.
Absolutely, yeah. That's one of my biggest enjoyments of the store is to see that that camaraderie come together in people.
And in fact, on your website it says, walking into Revival Records for the first time, one gets an overwhelming sense of community.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what the store is all about.
Pete Rondello, sense of community, that comes into play with WXPR as well.
No, we like to think so. We're not necessarily a record store, but we are that record store of the air, if you will. So, you know, if you're going to browse the country section or the polka section or classics, we have all of that. So it's a chance for us to be something special like your store is, Billy,
right,
where people can come together of different ages and different levels of their knowing of the music and their backgrounds and find a place to maybe meet other people who like different kinds of music.
John, your reaction to what you just heard from Randy Wagner?
To be quite frank, I'm absolutely amazed that, you know, Radio Chaos and Billy's store and like the Mike Capista's store here in Wausau Innersleeve are still going. And I guess I never really thought about it before as a gathering place, but that's exactly what, at least Mike's place down here, I'm not familiar with the other two, but that's exactly what it is. You know, people go there and hang out, and Mike gives them advice about music and all those kind of things. It is a personal service and a place that people gather, and I guess I'd never really thought about it that way, but I do the same thing. I think it's going to be increasingly tough as a certain generation gets older and older, but I think, you know, I think they've got a few years left.
Well, let's talk to that certain generation. Our show producer, Ben Shiverick, also talked to some young people and got their impressions of the new music industry, the world of downloads, streaming, and the role of traditional record stores. You're about to hear from Max Zastro, 19 years old from Wausau. Tim Gutnick, he's 19 years old from Wausau. Gentleman named Ian, 23 years old from Wisconsin Rapids, and Riley Sutton from Plover.
I think Spotify, iTunes, or really just even like YouTube, Pandora, all the like streaming stuff, it really does help a lot of music fans, I think, get familiar with bands and artists and everything, because then they might end up loving an album from a band, and then they're like, hey, I'd like to get that on vinyl, and that's pretty much what I do.
You're getting like a thousandth of a cent or 7/1000ths of a cent for every time somebody streams your song. That adds up. You don't make any money at all. But I mean, really, it's there for people who are just starting out in the industry to try and get a name for themselves. Physical editions of stuff, they're great because generally they bring in a little more money for the people who release them. And also, you're supporting the store that you go to.
Randy runs Radio Chaos here, and I just like coming down and talking to him, seeing what the new releases are, and he can actually get stuff ordered for me too, which is pretty cool. And I like supporting the local business here too, because I actually spend a lot of money here.
I'd rather support the local stores. I'd rather support the artists themselves by purchasing their CDs or vinyl. I don't really believe in downloading. Artists don't get compensated properly for it. I don't believe in it. I'd rather support the actual artists, buy their product, and pay them for what music they do create.
That's in this order, Max Zastro, 19 years old from Wausau. Tim Gutnick, he is 19 years old from Wausau. Ian, 23 years old from Wisconsin Rapids. And Riley Sutton from Plover, talking with today's show producer, Ben Shiverick. So, John Altenberg, should you be getting more money every time somebody plays one of your tunes? And how do you collect?
Well, I just get sent a check. You know, I don't really.
So it's a surprise.
It is a surprise. It's always a surprise. The nice surprise is that they are getting bigger. You know, every quarter I'm getting a beer check. So that is the nice thing. But that encompasses a whole array of revenue sources, at least for me. Like I think I mentioned before, whether it's licensing for a particular usage or radio airplay or, you know, whatever it is, or streaming airplay, I should say. You know, I think back about radio airplay, and I'm a BMI artist. So those checks never amounted to a whole heck of a lot for radio airplay. So this is better than that particular scenario from the last 30 years, at least for me. I don't know what to. All these young guys, I think they were interviewed from the local record store. Would be my guess,
right? So they've got a bias.
I think so, because you know I have a son 22 and a daughter 20, and I specifically ask them where they get their music. What do? They don't buy anything.
Well, nothing. You know, but Tom York of Radiohead. He has expressed his distaste for music streaming service. In an online interview, he said that musicians don't need Spotify to be the gatekeeper of music and that musicians should fight back against Spotify. Do you think that musicians would be better off without those streaming services?
The other thing that I've noticed is albums or CD sales from our stage, and we do a lot of concerts a year, have dwindled, you know, almost down to nothing. We can't get rid of them on live performance, and that was a huge source of revenue for us. And I'm not seeing those kind of sales anymore. And that so you keep lowering the price to try to move the product because we don't need a basement full of records or CDs. I really would like for people when they buy something of mine that they can have it in their hand and take it home. And that works better for the artist, without question.
Well, you can't autograph an MP3.
Exactly.
Can you?
Right. And it's very hard to tell an audience to say, hey, go download our stuff, rather than selling it to them right at point, you know, of purchase. You know, so, yeah, we'll buy it. We'll go to iTunes. And, you know, you don't know if that happens, and I doubt it does.
Billy, why don't you weigh in this on this real quick, and then I got to take another break.
Yeah, I think that, you know, with the digital age being here and everybody able to just go and online and grab what they want, they'll take one song or a whole album. I think that you're going to start to see people who want a tangible product. And so what I really enjoyed, though, from hearing those kids talk is how they really do support local business as well as local artists. They really truly do want to see the artists thrive rather than the record companies or labels thrive.
We're wrapping up our month of music today on Route 51, Radio Records and the Music Industry Reboot with musician John Altenburg, Pete Rondello of WXPR FM Rhinelander, Billy Siegel of Revival Records of Eau Claire. Thanks so much for Randy Wagner for his help in this segment. And we're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
Baby, if you've ever wondered whatever became of me. I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. Cincinnati, WKRP. I'm at WKRP in Cincinnati.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include the Edward J. Okray Foundation, the Spring Green Chamber, and Present Music. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from the Medical College of Wisconsin, Central Wisconsin Campus, the first medical school in Central Wisconsin, helping to ensure Wisconsinites have access to health care for generations to come.
Oh, you thought she was digging you, but she was digging me.
Clap for the Wolfman.
As long as you got the curves, baby, I got the angles.
Clap for the Wolfman, you're gonna dig him till the day you die.
It's all according to how your boogaloo situation stands, you understand?
Clap for the Wolfman.
Burton Cummings, Randy Bachman, the Guess Who, and Wolfman Jack on Route 51 as we wrap up our month of music with musician John Altenburg, Pete Rondello of WXPR Rhinelander, and Billy Siegel of Revival Records of Eau Claire. I'm Glenn Moberg. In the 50s and 60s, we had these larger-than-life disc jockeys, Wolfman Jack, Dick Biondi, Alan Freed. We just don't have them anymore, Pete.
We don't, and I can remember that 45 RPM record of that song on an orange RCA label going around and around on the turntable when I was doing disc jockey work. You know, the jocks certainly in this area and regionally and locally just don't have the notoriety or the voice that they did back in the day.
You know, but still, there are personality-driven music hosts on radio, and I'm going to give a plug to a commercial radio guy here in Wausau, people like Dave Calloway,
who
Midwest Communications. He's carrying on the tradition, but doing it on a local level.
He is, and, you know, he's one of the last soldiers and does a fabulous job. And I'm thinking of Duff Damos up at, you know, Rhinelander at 105.3, at actually Antigo WRLO. Duff's been in the business for years. He used to work here in Wausau also. So, yeah, there are some guys that do have a local following that do a nice job.
And Calloway is also very active in the community. He supports charitable causes. He emcees events, even organizes events like Disco Cures Cancer.
Right.
He's a great photographer. If you've ever seen his photography work, he's unbelievable. So check that out.
Truly a renaissance man,
yes,
you know, as they would say.
Yeah.
Is it bad that radio formats are so fragmented now? Country fans listen to country stations. Metal fans listen to hard rock stations. Rock fans listen to classic rock stations. In the 60s, on top 40 stations like WLS, you could hear all in one set something like I Am the Walrus by the Beatles, followed by Strangers in the Night by Frank Sinatra, followed by The Race is On by George Jones, followed by a blues musician like Slim Harpo doing Scratch My Back, you know? It forced everybody to listen to stuff that they might not be comfortable with.
And, you know, that's very true. And being opened up to some of these genres when you're usually, you know, you want to just hear I Am the Walrus and then you hear something else that may change your thinking a little bit, make you more of a music fan and surprise you. And surprise is sometimes a good thing.
Well, I was in high school when I Am the Walrus came out, and first time I heard it on WLS, my mother was driving me around and it disturbed her so much she had to pull the car off the road.
Cuckoo ka-choo.
Yeah. Billy Siegel, you know, the changing music industry.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of old soul, I guess. I like, you know, when you hear these singles released and you're like, oh, you're so excited to get this album when it comes out. And then you hear the rest of the album, you're like, oh, man, it's not really as good. But, you know, with a vinyl, you have to listen to the whole thing, you know. You play it from front to back. And some of those albums that you are forced to listen to or that you play both sides, those are the best albums, you know, the ones that really grow on you.
And that was a big transition from 45s to 33s. Artists suddenly decided that it wasn't just going to be a hit single on that LP record. They were going to have quality music all the way through.
And with usually a concept or a theme that permeated through the entire recording. So it's more of a concept. And, you know, that's what drew me really into music, was the whole idea of a whole collection of songs that seemed to connect together. I love that.
John, I'm going to let you give a plug for some things that you're doing now. You got the big Christmas concert coming up.
Christmas show at the Grand in December. I would, if you're planning on going, I would get the tickets now because there's probably less than 200 left.
Janet Planet, Randy Sabin, Bob Case,
the whole works.
Mitch Vigo.
Yeah, everybody's coming back for that. We're doing the House of Blues in Chicago in December as well.
Far out.
We got the Blues Fest coming up in third weekend in August with Otis.
And the next night,
and
headliners,
Howard Guitar Litke,
Elvin Bishop, right. John Mayall, and
huge.
Tommy Castro.
Yes, that's huge.
Pete.
We'll be there.
Yeah.
Fern Island.
And Billy, what's up next for Revival Records? You going to stick with the old stuff, or are you going to expand your repertoire a little bit?
No, I'm just going to stick with the old stuff. I like the way it is. Vinyl is, I like the smell of it, I like the feel of it, I like everything about it.
All right. Thank you all.
We're having a party, dancing to the music played by the DJ on the radio. The Cokes are in the icebox, popcorn's on the table. Me and my baby, we're out here on the floor.
We want to thank today's guest, musician John Altenberg, Pete Rondello of WXPR Rhinelander, Billy Siegel of Revival Records of Eau Claire, Randy Wagner of Radio Chaos in Stevens Point. You can find out more about John's music at altenberg.com. You can find out more about WXPR at wxpr.org. You can find out more about Revival Records at revivalrecords.co. That's C-O. And you can find out more about Radio Chaos at radiochaossp.com. There are links to all of those on the Route 51 Facebook page. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer and on-air producer, Rick Ryer. Thanks to today's show producer, Ben Shiverick. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Chuck Berry, Johnny and the Motones, The Lovin' Spoonful, The Ramones, the producers of WKRP in Cincinnati, The Guess Who with Wolfman Jack, and Sam Cooke. Next week, it's back to politics as we look at the Democratic and Republican conventions and the November election. Thanks again for riding with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. And until next week, we are heading out of town.
Dance to the music. Yeah. On the-